What do I say?
What do you want me to say?
Can we leave this in?
All right, we're leaving that in, and that's how we're starting the episode.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Hey, everybody.
All right.
We're past the holiday season.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
Welcome to 2024.
Yep.
Well, goodness. For you, it's been 2024 for a little bit, but for us.
Yeah, it's felt the same.
Yeah.
I guess so. I've been sick, so I'm happy to finally not
be sick.
Do you have that darn stomach bug?
I was sick in general. It wasn't exactly a stomach bug. I had...
What?
That darn stomach bug.
No, I was sick in general with a cold or a something. I completely lost my voice, so I sounded like death, and I had pink eye in both eyes.
Oh, so it was... I had pink eye a few weeks ago. I might have given it to you.
Oh, thank you.
Did you touch eyes?
Actually, no. When we recorded, I don't think I had pink eye.
Okay.
It's highly contagious.
It is about the most contagious thing you can get.
Yeah.
How long were you out of work?
Well... Of course, that was finally when I had time off, so that's how I spent my, how I spent all of my, like, comp days and vacation time.
I made you use that?
Well...
Man.
I'm sorry, Dretch.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, it is what it is, but I'm happy to not have pink eye in either of my eyes anymore.
Dretch.
Yeah, yes.
If I may call you that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I will forgive you only if you reveal your Presley thought right now.
Here's my thought. Oh. Why is it? I don't know that this is more of a Presley concept.
That's fine.
You the concept?
In your head. I have thought about this. I've given this a lot of thought in the past 2 weeks because I wanted to bring it up on the podcast.
Okay.
It amazes me the amount of self-manipulation in a college fan when their team loses.
I would say...
Can you explain?
I would say, because I know what you're going to say.
Talk louder.
We talked about this a little bit last night.
I would say any sports fan in general. Not just college.
I hear it out of college especially.
I think it's because the reason he's saying college is because it's a lot of college age people, and they're a little more immature.
Sure.
And they haven't developed.
You look ridiculous.
They're very raw with their emotions.
Sure.
So they come up with the most bullcrap excuses.
Sure.
Continue.
Yeah. No, basically, whenever their team loses, it's like, you know, you go into work or you go into school and everybody's who's on the other team is poking fun at you.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, your team lost the other day. And then the response is always something stupid, like some BS. Like, we expected to lose.
That's me.
We knew it was going to happen.
That's literally me.
I think I've heard you say that.
Oh, I have.
I've heard other people say it.
It makes me feel better.
I feel like that's your, not excuse, but I feel like you've been saying that for all of your teams for years.
Yeah.
For Tennessee, the Dolphins, or for the Reds.
Which, to be fair, Tennessee, I just do expect it. I mean, I don't...
Tennessee is playing, like, Connecticut, where we won by a whole bunch of points. Yeah. And you were still... We were up by, like, 30 points, and you're like, this is not over.
You know, let me share proof of why I don't get my hopes up.
Okay.
Dolphins and Titans a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Dolphins were up by 14 points with 3 minutes and, like, 15 seconds. I wasn't, we got this in the bag. I was still nervous as crap.
Guess what?
Came back and beat us.
Yeah.
By one.
That's
the
why.
The freaking Titans.
Yeah.
Yeah, we suck.
And we're much better than them.
Yeah.
I mean, we just are. If you look at the whole season, like we should.
Yeah. Titans suck.
But.
Right well, at now. Least you made the playoffs and the Titans didn't, right?
We did.
So, hey, congrats on that moment. The last time the Dolphins made the playoffs.
Last year. The thing in college is
we just lost first round.
Yeah, but we're still ranked. It's all about the ranked means nothing. Ranked is just a bunch of dudes' opinions.
That is correct.
Yeah. Oh, in college, yes, 100%.
It's like, we're still ranked, though.
That's why Alabama got in, and they shouldn't have.
No.
You lost.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter about your coordinators or your freaking
Randy
coaches.
Thinks we're the 24th best in the nation.
Yeah, some dude.
But they're ranked.
Works at a co-op in West Virginia.
Exactly.
What do you think about Michigan versus freaking Washington or whatever it is? Is that who it is?
Yeah, that's the championship.
Yeah.
I'm going for Washington because...
Wait, Michigan versus Washington's the championship game? Mm-hmm. Washington?
Washington is good.
Since when is Washington... I didn't even realize they had football up
there. That's the thing. That's why I want them to win, because they're never good.
Yeah,
so I want them to win, because it's like, where did they come from?
Yeah.
And Michigan's always good. They just haven't won a championship in a while, but Washington would be cool.
That's basically all I had.
No, that's a fair point.
I don't understand.
That's what I do.
As someone who's like...
Not a sports fan.
Not really a sports person.
Unless you're at the games.
That's why I say not really.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just don't really care about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's fair.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I just want to say that.
That's what I do. I gotta make myself feel... After that Dolphins and Titans game...
Yeah. That's bad.
What were you saying?
This is embarrassing. I was very upset. Can I just...
You want to tell us what you
did? The day after was terrible. I set my bathroom floor after that game for about an hour.
Are you serious? Jeez.
Yeah. Because if I didn't, I would have been hitting stuff. That is
sat in the bathroom floor.
That game is without a doubt the most upset I've ever been in a sports game. Because
you should have won.
If we won that game, the Dolphins. I'm not on the team. I have to clarify for Presley and Layton, apparently.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My Lee. Team that I like.
We. Yeah.
It's
we.
A sports thing. Get GM. Over it. Get over it. We. I'm saying we anyway. If we won that game, we would have already locked up our division and been like the 2 seed. Whereas now we're playing Buffalo Bills mm-hmm. tomorrow.
That's going to be a good
whoever
game.
Wins that game wins the division. So we could go from the 2 seed to like the 6 seed if we lose. Mm-hmm. So if we beat the Titans, like literally our season's like, we don't even have to try tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But now it comes down to that game.
They could lose against the Bills.
See, we probably will.
He's using all this lingo. Really? This is all the talking that they still do. You lost!
I know, but I'm just saying. If we didn't lose, that's why it was such a big loss. Because if we didn't lose, it would be completely
like, different. But our defense looked pretty good. You lost.
And that's why I never get my hopes up, because of stuff like this.
Our assistant, we got a good assistant coach going into this season. You lost.
No, this is when we were talking about that the other morning. I said, well, we're rebuilding this year.
Yeah.
And he liked that one a lot.
We're rebuilding.
Just people saying it in general. Like, well, it's a rebuild year. You know, it's like the freaking Volunteers have been rebuilding for 50 years.
Yeah.
You know? They were never built.
Most cases.
They were never built.
Most cases, that's an excuse.
Yeah.
Some cases, it's a real. It's a real thing for people
college,
to rebuild.
I feel like that's not as... It's not.
It's more of a pro team.
Yeah, it's more
thing
of a pro team thing. Yeah.
Pro team?
Pro team.
Yeah.
I know you always hear pro team.
Because college is like you have people going in and out every 4 years.
Yeah.
NFL, it's like, you know, you might have people playing for 15 years for the same team.
That's the thing I like about the pros a little more, to be honest.
Here's the other thing I don't understand
and
about
the fact
professional.
That they're better.
Yeah.
Why is there team loyalty?
What do you mean?
You get a whole different roster every single year. Are you really loyal to the team or the people on it?
I'm not very team loyal. I'm more player loyal.
I'm team loyal.
I'm not. I really don't
care.
It's like,
I'm loyal to that logo of a dolphin.
This year, I'm rooting for the 49ers because I just love that their quarterback was the last round pick and he's
cool.
good. And I like Christian McCaffrey, kind of.
I do
so
too.
Between
George
those
Kittle?
Two, and, yeah.
Love
so
him.
I'm like, I want this team to win. I'm rooting for him now.
Yeah.
And now it's more exciting.
If the Dolphins don't get there, that's what I'm rooting for. Oh, Presley?
The last thing I'll say on this. You remember at the beginning of the year?
No.
We got lunch with Cooper.
Yeah.
And he said one of two things, the first half of which I understood. We're either going to win the championship or something else. And the way he worded that, I'm like, that's another example of just self-manipulation.
You know what he said, actually?
What?
He was spot on. He said, we're either going to go all the way to the championship or we're going to go about 8-4.
They went
8-4.
Oh.
Well, 9-4 because they won their bowl game.
Oh. But as far
this
as
is what
the...
I'll say about Cooper.
Yeah.
Whenever we've talked before games and he's right most of the time.
He knows the team.
And, like, sometimes he'll say things he's like, come on. But he's right. Like, last year, we had seen him before they played LSU.
Yeah.
And it was in LSU. Playing in LSU is always hard. So I was talking to him, like, that's going to be kind of tough, right? Like, they're good. That's going to be a hard game. And he was like, we're going to whoop their butt. And I was like, come on. We beat him by, like, 35. Like, he was right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So the, yeah, he was right.
He's a little more specific than other people are like, yeah, we're either going to win or we're going to lose. That's my prediction.
Yeah, he's like, we're going to, yeah, it's kind of, yeah, that's true.
He has more of an inside scoop. Mm-hmm. So, like, if he sees something, I wonder if he gets in on the game plan. He sees that and he's like, you know what? I think we're going to just.
Yeah, I wonder if coaches sometimes when they're game planning is like, we're going to.
Yeah.
This game film's terrible. We're going to beat the crap out of them.
Yeah, especially if, like, their pros and their cons, like, your pros match up with their cons really well. You can just destroy them, even if they're a good team.
Wow.
And that's something that a lot of sports fans say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you, anybody can do a post-game interview.
You know, this might be fun. Anybody. What are some other things, Sporty, you don't understand?
Post-game interviews.
Okay.
Or what do halftime you mean? Interviews.
I agree with
the halftime interviews.
It's the freaking reporter runs up to him all out of breath and drastic. Sir, what's your opinion on the game thus far?
No, it's always a girl. She's like,
not, well,
give me a name.
A lot of times.
Hold on, let me.
Why'd you take my mic?
Like, it's. Back. Is he going to be Nick Saban or something, and I'll be Michelle or something?
It's like, Coach, you're really able to boggle up Lamar Jackson in the first half. How are you going to tell your team to continue to do that?
Oh, sorry. I was not listening. Hold on.
It's always stuff like that. It's always like, what are you doing good or bad, and what can you do to improve?
Bad, what can you do to
improve? Right.
Yeah, I will say my favorite, so this is the only halftime interviews I ever cared about, was Greg Popovich, the coach for the San Antonio Spurs for basketball.
He's mean.
They are fantastic. Like, Shmev, ask me a question, I'll be him.
Okay.
Like, basketball related, just ask me a question.
LeBron put up 40 points on you guys in the first half. What are you going to do to stop him?
We need to be better.
Yeah, that's about it.
That sounds like Bill Bull, a jerk.
Yeah.
No, I love Greg Popovich because that's how it is. And they only get two questions to ask during the halftime interview. So it was always like, LeBron put up 40 points. What's your game plan to stop him defensively? We need to block his shots.
Yeah, that is like Bill Belichick.
I like that.
Patriots are bad this year.
Yeah, they suck.
And they have a big quarterback problem. So they've been like flip-flopping between quarterbacks.
They should just get Tom Brady back at this point.
Shut up. So they
could do better.
He could do better than the trash they have. But he's whenever he like pulls a quarterback out and he swaps, he's always asked after the game, like, what happened? Why'd you take him out? He's every time he's like, I just thought it was best for the team. And then he'll get another one. A lot of times reporters will like kind of change the wording of what they're asking to get a better answer.
Same question.
Yeah. And so it'll be like, what did the backup do to show that he should be put in the game? I just thought it was best for the team.
And this is the Marshawn Lynch. I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Yeah.
You know, and that's actually a good skill as a reporter to be able to switch it. That actually takes some skill because if you're like, you're wanting a different answer, let's say you have a head coach who's actually trying to give an answer, but they can't really think of the wording. If you can like rearrange the way you ask the question, it might, you know, spike something and it might, you know, say something interesting.
Have you ever watched any interviews Dolphins coach has done?
Yes.
He's my favorite coach they've ever had.
He's a trip.
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything?
I need to show you after.
Mike McDaniel. Right?
He is hilarious. Yeah, the post-game interviews he does, and he's always like, he gets a question asked, and he like goes above and beyond to like give more detail, even if they lose. I really appreciate that. And on top of that, he's just really funny.
Yeah. He's young-ish.
Yeah, he's like 40.
Yeah, which is young for a coach.
Yeah.
A lot of them are really old.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the most entertaining.
He's the most entertaining one the Dolphins have had,
yeah.
At least in my lifetime. I love him. Presley, anything else you don't understand? I like this.
Yeah, I like this too. Presley Sports Talk. What educating. Do you not understand about sports? Anything sports related.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I didn't understand the point of commentators.
Sometimes we would just put
I was kind of the same when I was younger.
I said, Dad, why do we have just two people talking over the game?
You're right, it is always two people.
Yeah. He said, well, son, he takes the remote, puts it on mute. He's like, because this is just awkward.
That's exactly what my dad did.
Yeah. Awkward. That's really, I think, kind of the extent of it. I could be wrong if there's more of a reason to it, but I think it's just like, well, it's just kind of weird if there's no one yeah. saying
anything. I much prefer the commentators.
I do now because I'm used to it. But when I was younger, I was like, if they're playing a game, why are they talking?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what took me the longest time to realize?
Huh.
I grew up watching professional football, if anything. No basketball or anything else. You know the... You know, all the graphics they put on the field.
First down line.
Yeah, all that. I thought that was there.
Well, when I was really little, I thought the same thing. When I was like seven or eight watching the Super Bowl, I was like, they know where the yellow line is.
Yeah. Just don't go over it.
Just don't go over it.
Yeah, and then
what
that yellow
ball start.
That yellow line isn't even fully accurate. Yeah.
No, it's not.
It helps a lot.
I didn't realize that until I think I was told at some point, and then I went to a Titans game when I was a wee child, and I was like, "Where the? How do I know what's going on? Where do I look?
Where's the commentators?
Where are the commentators?
Yeah, that's something that would be interesting. What if they had the commentators over like the speaker, so that way the fans could at least kind of hear?
That'd be
some inside scoop.
You would have to have them cranked up so loud.
Well, that would be a little distracting for the players.
Oh no, for the players that would not work at all, especially if they said anything like. An inside scoop, something like you see, like
man.
Right here, like
Coach Vrabel told us before the game he was gonna have to double team Tyreek Hill, something like that.
That'd be great. Well, even sometimes you watch a game, and they're like, "Oh, do you see this player is completely out of position or something like that?" You just hear that over the loudspeakers,
and they're like, "Oh, he's right,
exactly.
I got a cover."
Why is the linebacker in at quarterback?
Actually, that would make the game so entertaining. Actually, I changed my mind. I completely want this in the game. You just have the commentator saying that. That would be amazing. Man. But they're just, whether it's true or not, they just say different things. Like, and there's no running back in right now. Who are they giving the ball to? I think that's my second grade like classmate I saw out there.
Dude, the competitor to the NFL, what was it, XFL?
XFL.
They need to do something just really crazy. Like, what are some of the rules that separate them? They need to go crazy.
When they need to put the field goal back in front of the touchdown zone.
No.
Aren't they like that in Canada?
I think so.
Yeah, which is hilarious to me because it's like touchdown and concussion. Who puts it in front?
Oh, here's, wait, is this, I can't remember the exact rule. I think it's, instead of, so let's say you're down by two scores, you score a touchdown, it's 28-21. I think in the XFL you have the option, instead of kicking it or doing an onside kick, you can go for a 4th and 30 or 25 or something like that.
Oh, what?
And try to get the first down. Get the first down and keep the ball.
Oh, dude, that's sick. I like that.
That's either after a kickoff or after a extra, or after a touchdown. You can get. I can't remember. Huh. That's something that they do that a lot of people like.
They could put commentators over the loudspeaker.
Exactly, they should. I agree with you, though. If they want to become as big as the NFL, they need to not become the NFL, because if they try to be the NFL...
They'll never be as
the
good.
The NFL already exists, so what's the point of switching over? It's just going to be a worse version of the NFL, so it needs to be something different.
Yeah. Something I think is cool about the XFL is just me being a huge NFL fan. You have people in the XFL that... Like, you know, they were drafted high, they had high potential, they never worked out in the NFL, and they would go to the XFL, and it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about them. Or older players ended up leaving, they go to the XFL. So it's a lot of, like, people you just haven't heard of in a long time. You see them in the XFL, and they're balling out. That aspect's pretty cool. It's just people I haven't heard of in a long time. Like, I think Johnny Manziel played for a little bit in the XFL.
Really?
I think it was the XFL.
Did Colin Kaepernick ever go to the XFL?
No. I don't think anybody wants him.
What happened to him?
No.
His career's over.
Pretty much.
He sucked.
What happened? He had a good year.
He had one good year.
Who did he play for?
49ers.
Yeah. Well, he had one really good year. He had a couple okay years. But he really just had the one good year. And then, after that.
That's an example right there of why I don't like to get too team specific. Like, if I had to prefer, because we are in Tennessee, if I had just to pick one random team to go to the Super Bowl, it would be probably the Titans because we live here. Not looking at the players. But, for instance, I never liked him. But if Now they're different quarterback, different running back, whatever. Now I'm pulling for them. It's just because of players for me.
I think that makes sense different. If you don't grow up rooting for your hometown team. Like for me, I'm always going to be like a San Francisco Giants fan just because that was my hometown team. That so even sense. Though sometimes there are players there that I like, sometimes there are players there that I don't. Like for example, like the Dodgers. There are a lot of people on the Dodgers that I like as players and whatnot, but I still root for their demise because they're the Dodgers.
Yeah. Joey Votto. Mm-hmm. If he ends up, like, he still wants to play. If he goes to the Dodgers or whatever, I mean, I'm still rooting for the Reds. That's my team. Wow. I love Votto. He'll always be my favorite player.
You'll root for Votto anytime he's not playing the Reds. You'll want the Reds to win, but you'll still root for Votto.
Even then, I still hope he hits a home run. I love the guy.
I know, that's how it is for me, too. I'm still going to root for my team, but I'll still wish my players to... Like, that's how I felt about Brandon... Not to get too nitpicky, I'll stop after this. But that's how I felt about Brandon Belt when he left the Giants and went to Toronto. He was our one of our best players for over a decade. He was really good, and then he just left for Toronto, and I'm like, well, I'm sad now. Mm-hmm. I'll still root for him, but, I mean, I'm not going to all of a sudden become a Toronto fan because he went over there.
Trying to explain why, like, I follow teams instead of players. I don't know why, but it's kind of hard.
To me it's in your college. Hometown team, really.
Yeah.
College makes more sense, I will say that, because...
That's what I just said, actually.
But I'll expand upon it.
Because players are leaving every
couple
years.
They're leaving all the time.
So Presley, why didn't you say that?
I don't know. You should have said that.
You beat me to it.
They're saying...
You could have said it better.
I could have. You want to try? Every 4 years, it changes. Yeah. That's different than pros.
I think it's cool to see the, you know, the evolution of NFL teams and see, like, the Dolphins are out of their rebuild phase that they had for 2 or 3 years. In those 2 or 3 years, it was a literal rebuild phase. Mm-hmm. Like, they were caught losing games on purpose and were punished for it, which I hate their owner for. That was all the owner. He made people do things. But they lost games on purpose to draft Tua, which we have now, and a few other first-round picks. And, like, there was at one point people were saying they were the worst team of all time at 1 year. Mm-hmm. We were, like, 0-8. Then we flipped it around and finished, like, 5-11.
People saying you were worse than, didn't like the Lions or Giants
we
or whatever
were
go like...
bad for a few games.
For a few games, probably, but wasn't there one team that they played a whole season and never won a single game?
Lions and Buccaneers,
Lions and Buccaneers, yeah.
But
wrong Florida team.
Now, it's like they flipped the switch with these new players and the guy that they really wanted to go after. And it, I don't know, that's part of the... Whereas one player, you're going to pick one of the best players if it's your favorite player.
Yeah.
And it's always just great things dominating. I think part of being a sports fan is going through the tough times to get to the high points.
Yeah.
At least that's what I enjoy about it. Because the high points feel even better after those bad years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it's like?
This is entertaining, by the way. I like this.
I'm having fun with this. What do you think it's like to be the fan of a team that doesn't suck? Every team I root for sucks.
Yeah. This guy.
Most years.
I'll say it.
The Volunteers. The Titans.
Hey. Volunteers are they're better than they were.
Okay, but they
and
still
I'm
suck.
I'm saying that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I feel at least partially qualified to answer this question because, again, my Giants, who I've brought up, they won the World Series 3 times in 5 years, in 2010, 2012, 2014. And the Warriors, it's kind of over now, but they had their dynasty
for
a while. Yeah, so I was going to say, for me, it's something that just it feels good, but at the same time, thank you. It is also something to where, like Shmev said, like the Warriors, they were an awful team for a really long time. They sucked horribly. Mm-hmm. Like they were, like Monte Ellis, who, I mean, shout out to the people who remember that name. Presley. He was easily, Presley mainly. He was easily our best player because he put up a lot of points, but he really wasn't that good. He was just, we gave him the ball and he didn't shoot very well, but we're just like, yeah, we're just going to give you the ball and watch you shoot. So... I kind of relate to what Shmev says, to where when you actually win, it feels really good to watch it pay off. But there is something special about when your team like wins and does really well. Mm-hmm. It just feels, I don't know, what's the right word? I'm like, if only Zach was here to give me the right word.
Magnificent.
Magnificent, sure. Yes,
it feels good. A word for it, but it I don't know.
Like, imagine
rewarding.
I would never do this. Yeah. But imagine you're an Alabama football fan.
Look at that guy.
Imagine like having this feeling of like knowing you're just going to dominate every year.
I will say there is something weird about knowing that you're not the underdog anymore. Because for most people, they're the underdog. Mm-hmm. But for when your favorite team is like the one that's expected to win everything.
Favorite.
You just have very high expectations. So that way when you lose to a team, like, and again, you kind of got this when the Dolphins lost to the Titans, mm-hmm. to where all of a sudden when you lose a game like that, you're like, come on, we lost to like this team.
Yeah.
You're like, how could this have happened? So all of a sudden you become a little more like snooty or like
more pressure.
Yeah. More pressure. Exactly.
And when like Alabama loses, it's like everyone's going crazy about it.
Yeah.
The whole
country
is going insane. Right. Like when Tennessee beat Alabama last year, that was all over the place because Bama lost one game.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Tennessee, they lose a game and it's just like, only Tennessee fans are really the ones that see it all.
No, but you're right. That's another thing that I even forgot to touch on is that everybody also hates you. Like, the amount of people who... I mean, you have a lot of bandwagon fans as well, but you also get so much hate. Like, it, for the most part, it's probably still around thanks to Draymond Green. But, like, there were so many people that hated the Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
And they still kind of do, but they hated
What do you think
the
about
Warriors.
Him, Draymond Green?
Draymond Green...
I can't stand him.
I don't really like
as
him.
As a person... It's, I don't, I'll just say no comment.
Okay.
As a player, I'll say from watching him, because I remember watching him when he was a backup for David Lee, who was an all-star. He got hurt, and then he came in, and then he just kind of took over his position. And it was, I'll say, I respect him for being a very different type of player for the NBA nowadays, because most everybody else, you have to be a superstar to succeed, or you have to score all these points or do everything like that. Draymond Green...
He did all the scrappy stuff.
Yeah, Draymond Green is a superstar in terms of everything but scoring. He cannot score the basketball at all. He sucks at that. But he's amazing in all other aspects, whether it's defense, passing, rebounding, just being like a... I know, as crazy as this sounds, like a team leader. Again, for the war, not for other people, but for specifically the Warriors.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, because of that, Draymond, he's like the glue that kind of holds everything together. Mm-hmm. It's nice because it's exactly that. He did all the scrappy things. He did all the things that nobody else wanted to do.
Right.
So he's very unique in terms of that.
Yeah.
Does he play dirty? You know, just watch clips and, you know.
That's what I've seen.
You know, except
that
for yourself.
Say kicking people in the heads, probably.
Or the balls.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, no, Draymond Green, yeah, he's one of those guys where if he's on your team, you love him. But if he's on any other team, you hate him.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I feel about that. Like, probably how it is with, like, Tom Brady and whatnot. Like, if Tom Brady... his whole career was on the Dolphins. I'd be very interested to see.
Probably
like,
would have loved him.
Yeah, if Tom Brady was on the Dolphins and won a whole bunch of championships with him. It's just kind of
interesting
to see that. Yeah. But yeah, no, Draymond Green is, he's a very interesting character.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is he almost like the Dennis Rodman of today?
Do you know who that is?
Yeah. He was with
It's not
the
an
Bulls.
Exact comparison.
Yeah,
but,
the Bulls.
Yeah, he was with Michael Jordan. It's not a... exact great comparison, but I feel like it's close enough.
Yeah, everyone just hated him. Going back to your question about like what it's like to have a or like a great team, I used to think like Alabama Patriots, like they were always good, and it's like, is that even fun at a certain point? Because then you just know what to expect all the time, so it's like I would get bored of it.
Yeah.
So it's like it's almost like I don't know if I want my team to be dominant for 15 years in a row.
Yeah. That's another thing with, like, college versus pros. When you watch college, for Alabama, let's say, there's only going to be, throughout the regular season, there's only going to be a few games that are going to be interesting.
Yeah.
All the others are just going to be blowouts. And same thing for Tennessee, kind of. You know there's going to be maybe four or five.
This is why I like NFL more.
Yeah,
yeah,
because it's a lot more balanced.
Yep.
College, it's like, okay, there's the big ones, and they're going to do really well, and then they're going to go to MTSU, and they're going to get slaughtered.
Yeah.
So
it's
ridiculous. I do have another question.
Okay.
If I can add.
I got an email.
So going to the Dolphins thing, when you said that they were losing games on purpose, I've thought about this.
And they called it tank for Tua.
How? Good point.
Which ended up Burrow being the better quarterback, but we didn't have as well as a draft pick, so we took Tua anyway. But anyway.
So how did they – they must have been really obvious. So how did they get caught, and what was the punishment for it? And why don't more teams try to do this?
I'll give you some I'll give you some backstory. We hired a head coach, Brian Flores, from the Patriots, defensive coordinator. He came to the Dolphins, and basically, right out of the gate, owner was like, "Hey, look at our team. We're not gonna go anywhere." Had like a bunch of young guys and like an older quarterback. So he basically told the coach like, "Hey, you know, we can be competitive, but he's like, I don't really want to win a lot of games this year." Coach did not like that at all. So the first like half of the season, the Dolphins were 0-8. They were doing horrible. People were saying this is the worst team of all time. Now that that coach is gone, he's kind of come out and said a little bit about it. The coach got sick of it, and so he started ramping it up. And he was like, "Yeah, forget this. We're winning games. I'm not going 0-16." So they finished the year last half of the season like 5-4, and it was like that's remarkable that he's turning this team around. Like, how? Because it literally was just a bunch of nobodies. They cut and released.
Sounds like he's actually a pretty good coach.
He was a good coach. But him and the owner for 3 years just clashed and clashed and clashed. So the year after that, they got Tua. Coach hated Tua, did not want to draft him. So they clashed. And while the owner and the coach were still, you know, whatever. So that same year, before when they drafted Tua, the owner wanted Tom Brady to come to Miami. And there's a certain period where you cannot talk to free agents to try to get them to come to your team. The owner invited Tom Brady to his yacht to talk to him about coming to Miami, and it apparently went really well. Brady almost signed with the Dolphins.
Wow.
Ended up going to Tampa Bay. He wanted to be in Florida. Went to Tampa Bay, and no one found out that he... It's called tampering. No one found out that he tampered with Tom Brady for like 2 or 3 years. And by that point, the head coach that we had was already gone because him and the owner just never got along. We hired a new coach. So they took away our first-round pick and fined the owner a lot of money, which to him is probably nothing. Mm-hmm. But it was like a first-round pick and maybe a second-round pick, which is a pretty big deal. He was caught losing games on purpose. Basically, there was just a bunch of proof, and a bunch of the staff came out. Because they had to, like, interview and ask the staff a bunch of... And they found that the owner was trying to lose games.
So here's something for you. If you know you're not going to make the playoffs, it's already decided you're not. Maybe you're like halfway through and you're sucking. What's the incentive to win? Because you're only going to... You want to be like the worst team so you can get the best picks. So what's the incentive?
Who are you asking? Are you asking the coaches and the players or the organization? Because to me, those are two very different answers.
I could see the players are like, this is my career. I want to stand out. I want to look good. So they're going to try hard no matter what. But as far as like the team, maybe the coach and the organization, it looks like they would want you to throw.
That's a good question. For me, if I was like the owner of a team, I think chemistry is huge for especially a pro team. So if you're, I would say here's the thing. You can beat teams and you can make an effect on how the playoff picture is. Like you can beat a team, Titans beating the Dolphins, and making an impact on the playoff picture. That can feel good to a team. The Dolphins knocked the Patriots out of the first seed 1 year. They played the Titans just a few years ago. Titans beat them, Patriots were knocked out. And that was like, We made a difference. So you can still make a difference without going to the playoffs and winning the Super Bowl or whatever. It's more of a, like, if you don't try, that's just a big, like, what do you, I mean.
It's just a big win for the team, I guess. Yeah, just to get that.
It's a chemistry thing. You can send it out on a high note going into the next season. So
yeah. But it's also like, let's say the Titans didn't win that game. It would be better for them in the long run, maybe.
I was just thinking that.
You were? Because that way they'd get another pick, or a better pick, right?
Yeah. True. But I think it just goes back to, that's why you're there, is to win games.
Yeah.
That's all good. The players want to win the game. The coach want to win the game.
It would suck if they're like, all right, guys, let's just throw this so we can get better picks.
Right.
That's what I'm, you know, I don't want
and
that
to doesn't,
happen.
And that doesn't look good at all.
Yeah.
And
no, it exactly. Shouldn't
you
be
could,
like that.
I think you could tell.
Yeah.
They're trying to throw
a lot
games.
Of times you can. Although yeah. I was going to say, is just the NFL, do they have a lottery now for draft picks? Mm-hmm. They still don't? Okay, so in the NFL, it might be a little more rampant. Because I was going to say, I know in the NBA and even the MLB, they have a lottery for picks, which what that means is that if you have the worst record, that just means you have the best chance to get the number one overall pick. That doesn't mean you get the best pick.
I like the way
and
the
they
NFL
purposely
does it.
Do that so that way you don't tank. So that way you have less incentive to do worse.
Yeah.
So that way, that's even if you have like the eighth worst record, you can still get the number one overall pick. And I personally like that just because it kind of makes it to where teams don't tank as much, at least not on purpose, because players and coaches, for the most part, at least in my opinion, don't want to tank, because players, they have their careers, at the very least they have their pride. It doesn't feel good to know you have to lose games on purpose. That's not something you want to do. And coaches have the same thing, because coaches, their jobs are always constantly on the line if they're doing good or not. And even if they know they won't be with this organization, they want to be able to show their record to a different organization and say, hey, even with what I worked with, look at how good I did. But with owners, they're like, we just want the best thing, and if you're not making it to the playoffs, for them it's probably very financial. Mm-hmm. So they're like, we're not getting the extra incentive, we're not getting this or that, we might as well just lose on purpose, trade all our best players, and then try to get the best young people as possible, so that way we can have a brighter future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the freaking owners and that, it feels more like they're the business and they're the corporation part of it, and they're just looking at it like that. But it's good they have the players and all the coaches that aren't, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing for the players, too. Like, there's probably some that are like, okay, I probably won't be with this team next year, but I'm going to show out and give other teams a reason to sign me.
Yeah,
at the very least, especially if, like,
it's almost like a tryout
type agent. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They're about to be a free agent. They want to do their best. They don't want to tank because they're like, well, hey, screw the team. I'm out here to make as much money as I can to be a starter.
So I think when it comes down to it, if you're already out of the playoffs and you could tank, you have the option. I think it's more for the players and the coach to not and try to win as many games as you can. Because, like, I'll give you an example. The Bears started out terribly this year, and they've really been a lot better the past few games. And, like, first half, it was like, Bears coach is going to get fired. He's terrible. Now it's like the Bears, the last, like, 6 weeks, have, like, the second-best defense in the league. Like, their quarterback's doing a lot better. And now they came out and said the coach will be back.
I feel bad for coaches sometimes. I feel like that's so difficult. Because maybe it is you that changed it, and maybe it's not, though. Maybe it's just something started working with the players, but then you get the credit. But then it also could be flipped, where something that isn't your fault, it makes it look like it is your fault. I just feel like I'd hate that.
Nick Saban was fired at LSU.
That's so crazy.
Look at him now. Yeah. It's not always the coach.
Was he fired from LSU, or did he leave LSU? Because didn't he try to be an NFL coach for like a year or two, and it didn't work out?
Oh, yeah, he didn't. Oh, no, he didn't get fired. He left to go to the Dolphins and then left us after 1 year.
Oh, it was the Dolphins?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was the Dolphins. That's funny.
So I have more of a reason to hate him.
Yeah.
Because he had a pretty good season. We went like 10-6 and he just left.
Hear me out. What if Nick Saban, I'm going to see how loyal he is. What if Nick Saban was the head coach right now to this day, and Tom Brady, that trade would have worked out, and now you got Nick Saban and Tom Brady.
I mean,
with the Dolphins. He's still,
but
like,
also I wouldn't have known the actual reality.
You wouldn't have hated.
But yeah, if Tom Brady ended up coming to Miami, I've still been a Dolphins fan. I would have had to root for him. I care about my team much more than any individual player.
Huh.
Much more.
Wow.
Also, just real quick, Presley, how you doing over there?
Do you need to go to the bathroom?
I'm struggling.
You look like you've been constipated.
Is that what's going on? Do you need to go?
I think he just hates this conversation.
I don't hate it. I'm just zoning out really bad. My contacts are fogging up. Yeah.
Wait, what time we at?
Oh. 45-ish.
Yeah. We can keep going, right? Are you okay?
Yeah. Great.
What's wrong?
I don't know.
Do you need to go to the bathroom?
No, I think
he's embarrassed.
Presley, is there anything else about sports you do not understand?
No.
You know it all now.
I know it all. I've got everything. That's not how the song goes. Shut up. What were you saying?
I don't know. I thought you needed to go to the bathroom. That's all.
That's just my face, man.
Also, okay. Presley, how has your work week been?
Let me think. Pretty good.
Pretty good. What has happened in your
what
week?
Can you share?
What can I legally say?
or illegally.
What can I illegally say? It was a productive week.
That is illegal.
That is very vague.
Mm.
You got a lot done. I did.
You say that every year.
That's because I'm a beast.
Okay.
There's a lot coming up. Yeah. A lot we're working on.
Here. Let's do this like a post-game interview.
Yeah.
Well, we got a lot in the works right now. We just need to build this area up, and once we're done with that, we'll build this up, and this area needs some attention, but really we're just trying to finish this year strong and setting ourselves up this year so that we can make this the best year we can.
So what do you feel like about Jeremy and his progression in Excel?
Honestly, we're about to let Jeremy go.
Like really he's been a disappointment to this company.
And yeah, he's a distraction to our team. He makes some very racial comments. We just need to get rid of him.
Wow, so Jeremy's been a problem. Do you have any prospects to replace Jeremy?
Prospects?
We got McKenzie in the corner looking cute. Thinking about giving her a shot.
What was that, Jeremy?
Jeremy, no!
That's a different kind of prospect.
Yeah. Oh, gosh! this one's 0-200.
Anyway.
Yeah, prospect. Speaking of versatile words, did we share that on the podcast? I think I was telling
her
certain words. There's certain words that are so versatile. Like, you can use it for just about anything. Prospect.
Oh, balsamic.
Yeah.
Balsamic.
Yep.
Think what? About how many times
you can only use that word to describe vinegar.
This was a Presley thought a while back. That is one of his dumbest.
Like, you ever think about how balsamic is just used to describe vinegar mainly?
That was stupid.
Balsamic.
Yeah, that's the least versatile word.
I'm going to describe you as balsamic.
Like, what does that even mean?
I don't know. What does it mean? Nobody knows.
I don't have the brain power.
You could say that for a lot of words.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you could say that for so many different things.
Let's see here.
How about extra virgin olive oil? I wanted to say that to get a reaction.
Well, you could. You could use that in a different sense.
Yeah, you could.
I was like, he's extra virgin.
Wow.
How was your work week, Layton?
It was productive. Oh my God. It actually was productive.
Also,
we got a lot done.
Yeah.
Oh, did you get a lot done?
I did get
That's
a lot great.
Done. That's great. You say that every week.
Layton, no, can you say it in a post-game interview style?
You know, I feel like my performance has been really well. It's been a positive impact on the team in both my smiles and my performance. I feel like I've been contributing a lot and feel very confident as I've been settling in.
But really, my boss puts me in the position to
But
to
I really
got to
thank the team around me. I mean,
I got to thank our customers. They're the whole reason why I'm here.
Yeah.
Customers. Oh, wow.
Presley
I didn't want to. I mean, you know.
Has Layton take you off this week?
I tick him off every day. See him.
He did this morning.
It's funny.
I was going to say, yeah. I just have to say, when I first pulled up and I saw Presley and Layton waiting outside, Presley looked PO'd. Oh, my gosh. He looked so upset. I was like, Presley, is everything okay?
No.
Apparently it's not, because he was just like looking the other way. I was like, did I do something to upset him? I don't know what's going on.
We get here.
That's a good idea. Why are you holding your stomach?
He's got to go to the bathroom.
He's just not admitting it.
Do you want me to?
I know exactly what we'll do between,
You got it.
In between sessions.
Yes.
We believe in you.
You'll get up and you'll go to the bathroom for 25 minutes.
I got to pee.
Okay.
I had this entire thing of tea and half this thing of coffee. You mean to tell me I ain't going to pee?
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
What is wrong with Presley?
I don't know.
I think you need coffee.
That might be.
We got a full day ahead. We're going to Topgolf tonight. We're going to have a fun.
I guess he doesn't want
to
go.
Do we have to?
Zach doesn't even know about it.
No. We had a full conversation about it, and he doesn't remember a thing.
He's got dementia.
Yeah, can you explain that real quick for them?
Yeah, last night, we were hanging out, about to leave, and I was like, Zach, I guess I'll see you at Topgolf tomorrow. And he's like, we're going to Topgolf? After having a full conversation in a group chat.
And he after was the saying, first to respond, I think.
After telling Evan he would pay for it. And he just didn't remember. Dementia.
How far back was this?
Just a few days. Right, here we Wednesday, go. Thursday.
Be careful all what right. you read.
Evan said, do we want to do Topgolf or something else? I only ask because I want to do Topgolf. If we... because if we do want to do Topgolf, I need to schedule it ASAP. Zach was the very first one to say anything. I'd be down for Topgolf. Exclamation point.
Exclamation point.
He was so excited.
Yeah. Layton said, I'm down. No punctuation.
I don't use it.
Then Evan said, okay, I'll schedule a bay. Now I'll pay for most of it, but if you guys don't wouldn't mind Venmoing me, that'd be a huge help. Then
make
Zach,
sure to talk about all the financials.
Zach said, is it cool if I give you cash? I've been cashing you checks.
So Zach continues to talk about it.
He said, yeah, of course. I'll give you this amount of money. He said, works for me. Thumbs up. And
yeah.
This whole conversation.
So he had three or four texts.
But I was like, I see it, Topgolf. And he like kind of looks away. He's like, we're going to Topgolf? I'm like, what?
Someone else. Zach, I'm convinced.
Here we go.
Has dementia.
Zach is played by two different people.
What a theory.
I like this. Wait.
Let's hear him. Hold on. Elaborate. I'm putting my mic down. I'm just listening.
All right, so hear me out. There's two Zachs. Okay. We only see one at a time. One of them has his phone and plays Xbox with us. Mm. And spends most of his time in the studio. Okay. The other one, to be the breadwinner, goes to his day job.
And that's who we see in person.
And that's who we see on the podcast.
So
last night we got Xbox and Studio Zach. Today we would have gotten
breadwinner.
Day job breadwinner Zach. Podcast Zach. It's played by two different characters.
What do you think the other character looks like?
I think they look identical. I think there's identical twins.
Clone.
Yep.
It's pretty easy to be bald and have a beard. That's like 90% of America.
Yeah.
90% of America. Just go. Yeah, that's like most of the women.
Yeah, women are half of them, so yeah. There's like, yeah.
That's a good theory.
Anyway,
I think we need to investigate.
I like that theory a lot. Can we investigate that?
Yeah.
That's why every time you go to his room, it always looks like there's more than one person in it.
That was
funny.
Nice high five.
That's why he has funny. A king bed.
Oh.
Because he's sharing. A king.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys have like a pretty decently sized bed, like a queen or something
we
like
got
that,
a queen.
But then you sleep like on the corner
yep.
of it?
Yeah.
I got a fool.
I only sleep on the right side.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm the same. I always sleep on the left side of the bed. Oh, yeah. We could share a bed.
Well,
but,
I'm down.
But I always, even though I have like a queen bed, I always sleep like right on the edge of the left. And it's like I'm only using 20% of the bed.
Yeah.
No, I use that full thing.
You do?
Yeah. I have a step below a queen. It's just called a full.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what happened to me the other night?
I'll say
the other night. This was a few weeks ago. I had a stomach bug a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And for the like 4 days, I felt like I was going to throw up, but I never did. It was all I could just have that feeling. Mm-hmm. And it was always worse late at night and early in the morning. So I was in bed one night. Asleep, and I was trying to sleep on my side because I didn't want to sleep on my back because you know when you feel like you need to throw up, it's a little worse.
Yeah.
So I somehow rolled over. I was laying on my back. This is how I woke up. I was sleeping, and like I kind of woke up before my eyes opened, and I felt like it was coming up, and so I'm laying here like that, and I wake up and go, whoa! Oh, I'm fine. Like, I set up out of bed, like, gagged.
Like a demon just comes out of you.
And, like, I was fine.
There's a demon, Presley.
I didn't throw up. I never threw up, but for 4 days, I felt like I was going to.
You said out loud, oh, I'm fine.
Well, kind of, yeah. It was kind of like, I'm fine. It's kind of like that, to myself.
Yeah.
But
I like the first version better. You get up, you're like, oh, I'm fine. You just go back to bed. Yeah. No, that is, about to be like, you've had to have deep cleaned your bed and sheets and everything. No. Okay, luckily not.
The rest of the time I was sick, I slept on the couch. That way, like, I had to kind of sleep. I was kind of a small couch. I had to sleep on my side.
It forced you to, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a little scary. I felt like I was possessed.
Oh. You don't die that way.
Huh? Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to sleep on my side.
If you ever do heroin, make sure that you sleep on your side.
Oh.
Breaking Bad taught us this.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not even kidding. And that woman died.
What was her name?
I forgot her name. That was sad.
Heroin addict. Sad.
And Walter let her die.
Yeah, because he was Breaking Bad.
Spoiler alert.
Roll credits. Yeah, Spoiler alert for the show that started in like 07, 08.
I haven't even finished it.
Who did she
It's play? A really good series.
She played heroin addict number 8.
They're all
No, she was addicted. Basically number 1 in the show because it was second season early on.
Drugs make me nauseous. I have a hard time watching the show. Let me explain. let me explain.
Like we all three just looked at each
sorry.
Other.
I'm Wait. Sorry. Let me explain that.
Guys, just whenever There's I do thumbnail. Heroin, it just makes me feel There's really the bad.
I'm going to lose my job. Late on drugs. Okay, hold on. Let me explain before I am homeless. Let me explain. I don't... Wait.
He does not do drugs.
No, I don't.
Watching other people do drugs.
Exactly. Watching shows that talk about drugs, it makes me nauseous.
Why?
Especially with needles.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but, I hate needles.
Yeah, just people snorting stuff and mainly sticking needles in their arms. That
yeah, I hate that.
Makes me want to throw up.
Mm-hmm. Which is half of Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah. Except they do meth. They're cooking meth, oh, nice. So that's not as
Does
bad.
That make you nauseous?
It makes me a little uncomfortable talking about it.
Oh, talking, okay.
You know, as a homeschooled Christian, it's really it's really hard on my heart. It's heavy. Yeah. It's heavy on me. Yeah. So it's very difficult for me to watch the sinners
understand why
the
people
world.
Would make them, you know, get to a point in their lives and, where they would...
All right, this isn't Facebook.
And Mackenzie got a tattoo, and we just got to pray for her. That's all we can do. We just got to pray.
To hear Laura had
Laura
went to that new beauty shop in downtown.
What did she think?
Oh, I don't know. I need to message her on Facebook.
No. It's not. We need to message her on Facebook. We need to message someone else and ask her about her.
And let's just talk about other people's medical history on the internet.
On the internet. Forever.
So, you know how gossip is considered a sin? I feel like so many people in the Christian community gossip so much.
Especially openly on Facebook.
It's part of their religion.
About other people.
About other people.
Yeah. And their medical history.
And their medical history. I love that.
I'm going to clip this.
Okay. And then post it on some of these comments on their posts.
Yeah, just in the comments.
Because if you think about it, it's not gossip because I'm saying it to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you love how people disguise it too? Like, oh, please pray for Layton. Uh-huh. He is doing the worst
addict.
Stuff right now. He's a heroin addict. Okay, he's doing all these crazy things. He quit.
Pray
cheese.
For and then talk crap about him.
Yeah. No, exactly. People hide it like
that's
that.
That's a good
which
point.
Maybe some people
that is
well
a
by it.
Evan, that is a
that is a good point.
That I'm not even kidding. That's phenomenal.
And it's such a good cover up.
It is.
Well,
that was a great point.
Sneaky.
Well, you know, it was really my podcast friends that put me in the position to talk about it.
Thank you for getting vulnerable with us.
Thank you.
Vulnerable?
Vulnerable.
Yeah, but no, that's something that just always upset me. It's like, oh, we can't do like this, this, or this because like that's sinful against God. But then we're going to talk trash about all these people behind their back. And it's like...
Or the thing is like...
Yeah.
You text a bunch of people, please be praying for Evan. He's...
Please pray for Layton. Drugs have been making him nauseous lately.
He's
been delivering drugs on his off time. I don't know.
I know it's like I feel like unless you say it to just like one maybe two people that can be trusted. Like if you're posting something on Facebook or
I'll say that
like
if you're married,
text,
Maybe if you're married to your spouse, depending on the degree.
I feel like you can, except for maybe some very specific things, I feel like you should be able to talk with your spouse about basically anything.
And it also depends on the intentions of the heart.
I agree with both of those, yes. It's mainly people who if you say it to like one person and like you genuinely mean well to me, that's not gossip. It's different when you're telling all these other people flippantly or posting something.
Facebook.
It's like, will you just shut up, Deborah? Like,
Deborah's the worst.
Deborah.
I don't even know a Deborah.
Please
I
tried to pick a name grandson. That's no good. Yeah. He bought a 12-pack of beer at the grocery store, and he's really falling off from God.
And it was and it was a Bud product, too.
Yeah.
I won't say what it was, but it was Bud.
He's a homo.
I won't say what it was, but it was this. It's the same with, like, I don't want to talk bad about this person, but.
No offense. But
we talked about that recently. No hate, but.
No hate, but I think you're the scum of the earth.
Yeah.
No hate, but here's some hate.
Oh, that makes me feel better. Yeah. I'm glad you said that. No offense. Yeah.
Well, now I'm not offended because you said no offense.
Right.
Yeah, whenever I talk trash about Zach, I like to send these good morning messages like, hey, no offense, but I don't think you're doing so hot. You know?
You send him that in the morning. Like,
no, I wish. I might start doing that. Just talk trash to his face, but like, just send him a good morning message at, you know, 3 p.m.
You know, 3 p.m. You know what I used to do with
what?
One of our friends? I used to, for about probably 3 months, I don't know how it got started, but I would make up crazy quotes and come up with a quote celebrity that said the quote, and I would have a quote of the day for him and say, it was just fun, and he liked it.
Yeah.
So I would come up with a stupid quote, Danny DeVito, and then like send a picture of him and send it to him every single day.
I like that crap.
That's really good. I like
it
that.
It was fun.
That's amazing.
But then it got too hard.
Yeah.
I ran out of celebrities.
You ran out of celebrities? How long did you do this?
Like 3 months.
I'd run out of things to never say.
Mind. I thought you were going to say like a couple weeks to a month, and I was going to be like, there was more celebrities than that. But for a quarter of a year, I could see how you would.
It was a long
time.
There
were a lot of celebrities, but that's a long time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah.
Presley, I hope you learned a little bit about sports today.
I did.
Did you?
Kind of.
You got poop now?
No. I haven't had to.
You have to poop.
You have to eat before you do that. I haven't, you know.
You got to pee? All right. We'll get out of here.
I could use some water.
Leighton, you want to do
I
a,
may pee.
Leighton, were you going to do a post-game interview to get us
actually,
out of here?
Do you just want to close us out in prayer?
In prayer? I can't.
Let's do a post-game interview.
Okay.
Leighton,
real quick.
Okay.
What kind of character? Give me a name. Give me a back. I got to know who I am. I want to put on a persona here. Give me some background.
Your name is Jarvis Wilson.
Jarvis Wilson.
Oh. Yeah, you...
He's the head coach of a D3 tennis team.
Yes, of a D3 tennis team. Oh, I love that, yes.
All right, I'm ready. I got my character.
Can I talk about the podcast, though? And then you. Okay.
He's a fan of the podcast.
Yeah. Coach, I really feel like the podcast was well executed today. There was good conversation. How do you think you were able to do that?
Well, I think it just all comes down to us just communicating. We're a bunch of friends, and might I even say we're family. And I just think our bond and our love for one another allows us to collaborate in a conversation where we can just execute perfectly and switch topics from one to another. And I think that was displayed today.
That's beautiful, Coach. And we've recently learned about your wife's passing and how she was a positive influence, not just you, but the whole team. What can you say about your lovely wife?
She's dead as dirt, and I'm moving on.
Okay. Well, we hope...
Dennis is a bad guy. Dennis is bad.
Dennis the menace who coaches tennis.
I'm getting hot.
Coach, you have... Coach, you have the Community College of Ducks coming up to play you guys next week. They've got, you know, the star of their team.
Jaquante.
Jaquante, who's really been hitting the ball with that racket. Mm-hmm. What can you say about him and what he brings as your opponent next week?
Well, we just got to look at the weaknesses. You know, we all have our strong suits and we all have our things that are heavy on our heart. And I just think we got to go for the guts, go for the liver, go for the small intestine first, even though it's very long, it's very lengthy. He's got a lot of girth and a lot of strength, and we just got to cut him out at the knees.
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
Yep.
That is Coach Jarvis about what the podcast was today and his wife and his next opponent coming up. We'll be right here next week on the Awkward Tapes. And until then, thank you for joining us for a session of awkwardness.
Dennis out.
Back to you, Mark.